you might go out there and hate it. You know, someone might go out there and be like, I am not, this is not for me. I'm not doing this ever again. And that is totally fine. But the only way you're going to know that is if you actually go.
Welcome to the Hunt Backcountry podcast, presented by Exo Mountain Gear. This podcast and the gear that we produce at Exo Mountain Gear share the same purpose: to make you a more capable, confident, and successful backcountry hunter. This show is all about providing you with valuable information from experienced hunters. To learn more about the podcast or about our backcountry hunting packs, visit exomountaingear.com. Well, welcome to episode 135. This show is all about solo hunting in the backcountry. Myself and Steve are joined by Josh Kirchner from Dialed In Hunter to talk about the pros and cons, as well as answer a ton of listener questions about the topic of solo hunting. So we get into the drawbacks like loneliness and safety and some of the mental challenges, as well as some of the positives. We talk about meatpacking and how that needs to be addressed with solo hunting, communication strategies, and much more. So if solo hunting is something you have to do, whether by necessity or preference, or something you might be doing in the future, you'll no doubt gain some valuable information from this episode. Before we dive right into that discussion, wanted to thank Kevin Grandjean for your feedback, and we want to send you some Exo Mountain Gear swag, so please send over your shipping address. Listeners, as always, we want to thank you for sharing your feedback and thoughts with us. You can enter these giveaways by leaving us a review, whether that's in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else you might be listening to this, or you can contact us directly by email to podcast@exomountaingear.com. All right, let's dive into this fun conversation with Steve and Josh all about solo hunting in the backcountry. Josh, welcome to the Hunt Backcountry podcast. Thanks for joining us again, man. How's it going?
Yeah, no, thanks a lot. I'm glad to be back on. Thanks for asking me to come back on.
Yeah, for sure. So we got this article from you and we published it on the blog, and Steve and I both, you know, loved what you had to say in the article. And then the more we got to looking at it, I was like, dang, we need to discuss this on the podcast because it's relevant to a lot of folks. And I think, you know, what you covered in there is just, you know, it's great in the article form, but I know that will hit some folks in the podcast here and kind of hit a different audience, but also allow us to go deeper into some of the points you raised. So, you know, Steve, Josh, both, I know that you guys have done a fair amount of solo hunting and then also specifically choose to go on some hunts solo. You know, I know there's quite a few folks maybe listening to this that solo hunt, not because they want to, but because they have to, because they can't find like the right guy to go with or anybody crazy enough to pack, you know, miles into the backcountry or something like that. But first, Josh, why do you intentionally go solo on some hunts? Kick us off the conversation with that.
A lot of reasons, I guess. Like, one of them is honestly purely therapeutic. Just going back there by myself, I mean, there is no other calmer feeling. Once you get used to it, right? But it's so peaceful, man. Just being back there by myself and just kind of going wherever the wind blows and just doing my thing. That's awesome. But on top of that, I don't know about Steve, but I personally, I fill most of my tags when I'm alone. So when I'm like really like I'm like gunning to get in there on a hunt and I'm just like gunning to fill my tag, I honestly a lot of times opt to go alone. Just because I feel like I'm more effective. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but that's just something I've noticed about myself. I feel like I think with a clearer head. I don't really have, you know, I'm not really bouncing any ideas off of anyone else, which has its positives as well. But also, sometimes you get into these headbutting matches and you don't really know what you're going to do. And so that's just me. Yeah. So those two things are probably the biggest reasons.
Is it similar for you, Steve?
Yeah, pretty much spot on. I think it's I don't know if I this is kind of something funny, but I don't really enjoy solo hunting, like in the moment, in the process of it. Or like, I don't know how to explain it, but like, I mean, I know I've always told the story, like my first hunt ever solo. I mean, literally in there for like 15 hours and got out as fast as I could, cause I couldn't sleep, had my pistol in my hand all night long. And I thought the whole, you know, every animal in the woods was going to come eat me that night. And then, by the time I got back out, I was already like sickly planning my next trip, and I couldn't even understand why, right? Like I just left and here I am, like, I can't wait to go back and do this again. It was so weird. So I love, like, I have more fun hunting with buddies, right? I mean, there's just a lot of laughter and enjoyment, and it's a funner process. When you're solo, it's just kind of like, it's all about business. You know, it's like you're there, you're hunting. Like Josh said, there's no other one to bounce decisions off of or conversation back and forth on this or that. So you're very, very focused on what you're doing. And there's like this peaceful aspect of that where it's like, it's just so quiet and you're kind of alone with your thoughts. And if you got stuff to think about, you do. And if not, you just get so focused on the hunting that you just forget everything else. So I love them. I love to make sure I do a handful of them a year. Definitely more effective solo hunting, I think. So like Josh said, there's pros and cons, and having someone calling elk with you is pretty stinking handy, or even glass and mule deer. And you gotta, you know, it's tough to kill one by yourself, where if you gotta stalk them and move around a canyon, you could have a buddy kind of give you hand signals to make sure things are going good. But, you just make decisions just differently. I think you just kind of do what's more instinctual to yourself, and you're not kind of like, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? So you just hunt, efficient for sure.
It's funny you said that word instinctual, cause that's exactly what stands out to me from the solo hunts that I've done, is because I'm not worried about like bouncing this game plan or getting feedback or sharing this idea, or this sounds stupid. I've noticed that for myself on solo hunts, it's been truly just me and my instincts, right? And I think you're much more in tune to that and open to that when you're solo, because there's just no other input. Like, it's just you, and you recognize those instincts and just act on them instead of overthinking it. And sometimes overthinking it's what gets us into trouble.
Goodness, I couldn't agree more with that one.
How did you, Josh, adapt to solo hunting in terms of the solitude and getting used to it? I mean, is it literally for you, is it just putting the time in and going, yeah, that's just a bird making that weird noise, it's not going to kill me, or, you know, because, I mean, we all go through that. I've certainly done that with my own solo backpack hunts. But anything else that stands out besides just giving it time and trying it?
Man, that's really the key is... I think our minds are our own worst enemies, you know, and like we build up all of these irrational fears and we worry about things that haven't even happened, you know, like, which most of it we really don't have to worry about. And I think once you get your feet wet and you put yourself in the situation, then you really start to realize, you're like, wow, this is, you know, this is not at all what my mind was building it up to be. You know, it's actually something different, you know? So yeah, that's really what it is. I mean, the hardest part is making the decision, you know, like before I leave my house, before I ever started solo hunting in the backcountry, like I would build up these reasons in my head, whether it was, oh, there's a chance of a nasty thunderstorm coming in, or, oh man, I really don't know if there's water back in this area. I would come up with all these things to talk myself out of going, you know? And then when it's all said and done though, I'm like, you know what? If there's no water back there, I'll just hike back to the truck. You know, if a storm gets so crazy that it's unbearable, I'll just hike back to the truck. And I think that's something we're not in Alaska. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the places we're going into in the lower 48, you're a couple hours from the truck, you know? So, I mean, worst come to worst, you hike back to the truck. With the exception of getting hurt, right? Hopefully nobody gets hurt. So, that's what it was with me. It was just really the mental part of you just need to go.
How's it affected you when you have, because you talked about you're more effective on those solo hunts. For me anyway, I know there's been like this deeper level of satisfaction on a successful hunt when it's like,
oh yeah,
I truly just did, like, not to like, you know, you're touting yourself up, but you no doubt feel like a sense of satisfaction of like, I went in there on my own. I dealt with the suck. I pushed through my probably stupid and irrational fears and I stuck it out and it worked and I packed it out and boom, like that was me. That was awesome. I'm sure that relates to all you guys.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Let's hit some of the drawbacks. So we kind of talked about, you know, maybe the reasons we do it, but certainly there are some drawbacks. And I think, you know, hinting to some of the things you mentioned, Steve, some of that depends on the hunt. Like, it can be much different on an elk hunt, for example, when you can have a partner versus maybe you can, you know, do mule deer a little bit more effectively independently at times. So calling's a huge factor. But besides the hunting tactics, clearly, although we talked about being in tune with ourselves and like our instincts and all that, clearly loneliness can be a factor. Do either of you guys have stories where that really stands out, where it's just truly been like, you went in there and you were looking for peace, but instead you're just like in your head and it didn't work out for you?
Mine was actually the one that sticks out in my head the most was just a scouting trip. I drew in a deer tag in Nevada, and this was pretty early on when I first started backpacking, and I just drove all the way down. I was in the Jarbridge Wilderness down there and basically backpacked into the middle of that wilderness by myself. And I like the whole time I'm like, I don't know what I was doing. I was struggling to find deer. And the whole time I was like, I couldn't help but wonder, like, what the hell am I doing out here? You know, like, I love backpacking. I love hunting. But I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. You know, and this was like pre, you know, any kind of communication device. Cell phones didn't work back there. I mean, you're truly like, truly alone. You know, there's no in-reach button to push if you get in trouble. And I remember like really, really doubting, like, why am I here? And then, you know, I think I went to bed and woke up and I was surrounded by a bunch of elk. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's why I'm here. This is awesome. So, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's such a mental, like the solo hunt is just the epitome of, you know, messing with your mind. And every single hunt I go through some level of that, you know, minor, major, doubting what you're doing. You know, why you're there, or man, I should be home with my family and my kids, or I don't know. It's tough, but it's kind of like an acquired taste. Like first time I ever had gin, I thought it was disgusting, and now I love it. So
it's like
the same thing. You know, it just takes time, and once you get it, it's like just tattooed to your freaking soul of like you just have to go do it every year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, and. Like my story is fairly similar to that. And it was, I was on a deer hunt though. And I hiked in solo and the same thing that you were saying, you know, I'm laying there in my tent, like, maybe I should get out of here tomorrow, you know, like just kind of playing tricks with my mind. But then like when I woke up and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to go glass in the morning. And then if I don't see anything, maybe I'll get out of here. Well, I went and glassed for the morning and then there's just coos bucks rutting all over this basin. I'm like, exactly what you said. That's why I'm here. Like, <Yeah. laughs> you know, and like once you see that stuff, it's like, for me, I just like immediately forgot about all of my, you know, wanting to go home and loneliness and stuff. I couldn't wait to get home to not to see, I mean, see everyone, but to tell them the story. You know, about like, oh yeah, dude, I was like, you know, 100 yards from this buck and like just trying, you know, telling people the story of the hunt. But you got to be there to experience the hunt in order to come home and tell a story, right?
Yeah.
What's the longest solo hunt you've ever done, Josh?
Solo, I you know, solo for me, it's only been 3 days.
3 days. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the places here in Arizona are very, water is very scarce. Mm-hmm. So for me, the solo hunts that I've done, like the place I backpack into for coos deer, one of them, there's no water. So I have to go in ahead of time, and stash water to make, you know, and I'll stash like 2-3 gallons of water back there, depending on if I'm, you know, if I have a partner. Mm-hmm. So that's that. And then this past, spring, I backpacked into an area for bear, and the year before there was water running straight across the trail, you know? So I hiked in here being like, oh, cool. You know, I'm just going to be able to go back in here and we'll spend 3-4 days or whatever. There was no water. So like, this year has been incredibly dry for us. So I ended up having to leave early because I just didn't have any water, you know? So yeah. So a lot of my decision-making is honestly based around water.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I ended up, just the rest of the season, I just packed, you know, a whole bunch of water, carried in a bunch of weight, and was able to stay like 2 nights, you know what I mean? That's about it for water for me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it's interesting that, you know, when you're solo, whatever excuse enters your head is automatically given like more attention and more credibility than if you were with somebody else. So, you know, for many reasons. One is there's nothing to take your mind off of it, or it's difficult to take your mind off of it. And then the other thing I've noticed that's interesting is like, if I have that thought and I'm with my buddy, I'm like, that's just me being a pansy. Like, you know, like I can't, like that's, you know, you have that whole like macho effect of that's a stupid excuse. I can't say that, you know, but when you're by yourself, everything gets so more blown up. It's so funny.
Oh yeah. And then, I mean, there's a story I've told in the past, but so for backpacking solo, you know, the longest I've been back there is 3 days, but just hunting solo, I mean, 9 days. And I remember I was bear hunting and my wife, you know, I was thinking about coming home just because, just like what Steve was saying, like, what am I doing here? You know? And the next day, my wife is like, just stay out there. You don't have anything else to do.
I'm having fun without you. You just stay out there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So the next day, I woke up and I was like, oh, I'm just going to hike down this canyon and just hang out because doing that's better than doing nothing, right? I ended up shooting my first mountain lion back there. I caught him chasing some coos deer. And when it was all said and done, like if I made the decision to go home, I would have never experienced that. That was like one of the most gnarliest things I've ever seen. So definitely thankful for just being there, you know, like if you're not out there, you're not going to fill your tag, and B, you're not going to get that satisfaction of being there in the first place.
One of the other drawbacks, or just things we need to pay attention for with solo hunting is just weight. And that's, in a few areas you mentioned in your article, Josh, not only can that apply to packing in, so you can't split a shelter, you can't split a stove, you can't do some other things that maybe you can kind of optimize when you're with a partner. But clearly this becomes a big consideration when you actually fill that tag and now you have to deal with getting this animal out there and you're solo. I know that you've done this a ton, Steve, especially doing some stupid loads with mule deer, but Josh, how has that worked out with you with your solo hunts, and how have you thought about that being down there in the Southwest when it's a bit warmer climate?
Man, the clock is ticking. You know what I mean? Like right when something hits the ground, the mule deer I just shot this past January, even though it was December, it's still almost 80 degrees during sometimes. So it was just like right when you get something down, it's like you need to start working on that right away. So use anything that you can, you know what I mean? Handling an animal when it's down by yourself is difficult. because like trying to skin them and get keep the leg over here, you're holding the leg with your knees, but you're trying to make sure that my buck's antler just straight went through my pants, like, because I almost fell, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, just working as quickly as possible, and there's so many videos out there on like how to actually handle a critter when you're down. I think it's super important for anybody that is not familiar with that they educate themselves so they know what to do when it actually happens, so you're not kind of just running around with like a chicken with its head cut off when you actually kill something. Because at least down here in the Southwest, I mean, heat is definitely an issue, you know, so you need to move. And personally, I would just not boning out is not an option.
Yeah.
I just prepare to bone out whatever you get down on the ground, to make it easier and try to get it out in one load, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's obviously way more doable with some of the deer hunts, but even still, that can be a ton of work. I mean, like, how does, you know, when I think of like keeping meat cool, I'm typically thinking of the elk country I hunt in, but that's so different than the Southwest. I mean, are you able to find like cooler creek bottoms or decent amounts of shade where you're at in the country that you're hunting?
Yeah, depending on where you are. Yeah, like creeks are kind of far and few out here. Yeah. But there's plenty of, we have a lot of pinyon junipers out here, which offer, I mean, it's not like a huge amount of shade, but you can definitely get yourself in the shade, you know? So yeah, that's what we've always done. Yeah. So
do you look at certain hunting conditions or maybe certain times of the year, and then, you know, you're going on to a hunt solo and kind of keep in mind, okay, I'm only going to get this far from the truck for getting this thing out of here?
I would think about that. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I haven't been fortunate enough to tag an elk yet, but when my brother and I mean, it's not solo, but when we pack in for elk, we know, we're like, okay, we're not going to go past this point because it's only the two of us, you know? Specifically out here, you know, I have an elk hunt this year, which I'm not sure if I'm going to backpack or not here in Arizona, but that is definitely a consideration. I mean, you know, I mean, you gotta, I think you have to be mature enough to, if you're too far away, to maybe make the decision to not pull the trigger, you know, if there's any fear of that meat going bad for where you are.
Steve, how's that play out for you? Or you just go like superhuman mode and pack anything and everything anywhere?
No, yeah, Pat, I mean, even with, like, if Lenny and I are backpacking together, we 5-6 miles on an elk, I mean, you're two guys, you're still looking at 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, that's tough. I mean, we've done, I guess, Lenny's bull this year, we deboned. It's a smaller bull and one tripped it out. But that's, you know, you're looking at, I can't, like, his pack was 127. That's just, it's just pushing the edge, you know? So, yeah, we have those. Hunting solo, deer, there's not a whole lot of restriction there. I mean, you're looking at, you know, 100-110 pound pack probably with your gear and boned out meat and horns.
Yeah.
So that's doable. You know, you just take your time and get something out in a day. And, in fact, I want to do something stupid like 15 miles deep or something this year just to kind of have that challenge. but elk for sure. And then yeah, weather's going to be, you know, if it's September and cold and snowy, that's a whole lot different than like a, you know, early September, late August deal where it's, you know, 80, 90 degrees. That's, you know, you said, like Josh said, you're going to have to man up at some point and say, okay, this is too far. Whatever I kill back here, I'm not, you know, especially if you say you're solo, you're not going to get that meat out in time and you're going to lose some of it. So yeah, that's definitely got to play in your mind and your decision making.
Yeah. I did last spring, I was in that situation. I packed in solo for spring bear and, found an awesome bear, just like this slug of a red bear working his way up this hill. And I was looking at where that bear was and where I was. And I was like, man, I don't think I should go after that. It was so hard for me to make the decision to do that. But just what a tease, you know, it's like he was right there, but I knew if I killed that bear, there was a really good chance that I was going to, that if not all, but definitely some of that meat was probably going to go bad. So,
yeah, I mean, it's sometimes interesting to hear guys talking about solo specifically with elk. And I just wonder sometimes, it's like, have you done that? Like, because it's crazy when you start thinking about, like, so say you're only 3 miles. I mean, you're either talking 2 trips with 100+, or say you go, you know, 3 trips, which if you're only 3 miles and do 3 trips, that's not 9 miles, that's 15 miles with the there and back, nine of which is with that 80+ pound load. So it's like, man, you got to be really freaking careful about what you get yourself into if you're solo, for sure. And especially, you know, like the guys who want to do this Western hunt and are thinking about doing it solo because they can't find somebody to go with. It's not that it can't be done, but you have to be super, super intentional about where you're going and where you're willing to pull that trigger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that I did the math on that bear. It was going to be 35 miles of packing if I did that by myself. So you definitely got to think of that stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, we reached out with some Q&A about this topic, and overwhelmingly the things that guys wanted to know about was safety and communication and all that good stuff. So I know that between the three of us, we've all used the InReach products and would say that they're pretty much a must if you're solo. But specifically just with you, Josh, I'm curious, you mentioned maybe some hunts before that, or how has that played out with your wife and going solo and communication and safety and that whole discussion been for you?
Yeah, when I made the decision that I was going to actually start like backpack hunting by myself, I just went out and bought an InReach, like just right away, just for not only my sake to know that everything was okay at home when I was gone, but, you know, for my wife's sake, you know, to know that like her husband's going back in some weird area with nobody else, you know what I mean? to make sure I'm okay. So I just right off the bat, dude, I just dropped the money and bought an InReach.
Yeah. I mean, that's just these days, it's hard to think of doing backcountry solo hunting without that. It's just a no brainer, not only in terms of keeping the family happy or for your own peace of mind, but truly anything can happen at any time and you could find yourself in a world of hurt you ever anticipate it, you know?
Oh, dude, it is like 100% worth all the money. I mean, the monthly subscription kind of sucks, right? But I mean, you can turn it off though. I don't know if a lot of people know that. Like if you're only going, you know, elk hunting in September, but for the majority of the year, you're not really doing anything else, you can just turn it on in September and then turn it off when you get back from your hunt, and you're not paying whatever it is, $35, whatever, every single month for that plan. So,
what else do you do? Do you do anything specific, like communicate where exactly you're going or I'll be back by this time? Like the logistics of safety and communication, how does that play out for you, Josh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, so before the InReach days, I would leave a note like on my dashboard or something like that, saying like, went here, be back this day or whatever. Right. I'm sorry, that was before I was backpack hunting, but I would leave a note and just say where I was going to be. And then before I would leave home, I would have like a detailed map for my wife of where I was planning on hunting, the drainage I was planning on glassing, where, you know, where my truck was going to be parked. I would just kind of like lay everything out just so I knew that she sort of had an idea where I was going to be, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that InReach, I mean, I know we just keep, you said this might be an InReach commercial, but like, I'm telling you, like, so worth it.
Steve, do you do anything else? I know you use the InReach as well, but in terms of safety, anything else to consider that comes to mind?
I think it's, like I said, pre InReach days just told people where I was at. If it was going in a new country, like what my plan was, when to expect me out. And then now, you know, I even with an InReach, I'll still like say I'm going solo, I'll call at least two buddies that, like, you know, like Jason and Lenny, calls guys up, say, hey, you know, this is where I'm going and this is how long I'm planning to be out, and, you know, I'll call you when I get out. And just so someone, you know, outside of my wife knowing, usually I just tell my wife, like, hey, if I'm not home by a certain day, call Lenny, cause he knows where I'm going to be. And so I have that backup plan just, you know, for the worst case scenario. And then with the InReach, yeah, I mean, it is an absolute no brainer. Just go buy the damn thing. And yeah, the basic subscription's $14.95 a month, I think, or $19.95. Run that for 3 months of the year. It's not even every hunter should have some type of, I know there's Spot and a few other devices out there that are similar. But they'll at least give you that, you know, your 911 button. Just go buy it. It changed how I solo hunted. I used to hunt very, just timid, I would say, you know, especially we get into some pretty nasty country at times. Right. And you're scaling rocks and doing this and that. And I would be, you know, way more slow, way, way down compared to when I was hunting with buddies. But now with InReach, you know, I'm way more relaxed and I enjoy the experience more. And as Josh mentioned, I get to check in and make sure things are good at home. Ask my wife how her day was. And it's such an invaluable tool that truly everyone should have one.
Yep, absolutely.
We talked a bit about mindset up front and kind of those excuses and the things that can talk us out of just being there in general, or maybe kind of packing in early. But I'm curious, from a hunting specific perspective, maybe when the hunt isn't going great, I know you both mentioned you woke up the next day and, oh yeah, that's why I'm here, type thing, but really more thoughts on staying motivated. Cause that's something that I've always fed from in hunting with partners. It's like, it seems like for whatever reason, if I'm down, my partner's in it, or if he's down, I'm in it. Like, we have opposite mood swings, which is good.
right.
But when you're solo, like, how do you stay motivated when things aren't going your way, Josh?
I think that is something that is learned by repetition, and by being confident in yourself as a hunter. So, like, if you're not, say you're deer hunting, if you're not seeing deer here, okay, as a hunter, where are you going to look next? You know what I mean? Like, habitat and everything like that. Okay, I know there's water over here. I haven't been over here yet. That hillside looks really green. Let me go check that out tomorrow. You know what I mean? I feel like if you just like stay in one spot and you're not seeing anything, you're just going to drag yourself into the ground. I don't really do this, but unless you're going after one specific deer or something that you know is working this specific drainage, that's a different story. But when it's slow, yeah, man, you just need to, like I said, if you're not out there, you're not going to succeed and fill your tag. So if you need to move, then move, you know, but think of it as, this kind of sounds corny. Okay. But like, think of it like as a predator, you know what I mean? Like where are the deer going to be right now? Is it like super hot? Okay. Well then you need to be going and looking in the shade, you know, and just kind of bounce around. And it's something that's learned over years of just hunting and knowing animal behavior.
How's that play out with you with motivation, Steve?
It's why I asked Josh earlier, what's the longest solo hunt? I have trouble, like 3 night, 4 day. That's as most as I want to do on a solo hunt. I know some guys that'll go do 8, 9, 10 day trips solo. And I don't think, like, I'm flat out can admit, I don't think I'm mentally strong enough to be away that long. It's freaking tough.
It's definitely easier.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
As some guys, I think maybe wired a little differently. But for me, that's really hard to do. So, 3-4 days, that's kind of my duration. And usually I think like Josh was saying, I just like to cover country. If the hunting's really slow, it's all situational. If I was elk hunting, I'd just keep moving, keep covering country. If it's mule deer, you're you're in the right drainage and it's just a matter of patience. And those make for some freaking long days if you're just sitting in one spot glassing and you got no one to talk to. It's funny. I actually enjoy, sometimes I'll solo film those hunts and just even physically just talking into the camera, at least you're like, there's some conversation happening and somebody will get to listen to it later.
Yeah, no, dude, it really helps. Yeah. I'm the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny. I had this note down and I was like debating on whether to talk about it because it sounds really odd. But one of my like notes was like, have fun with yourself because you're out there and you're on your own, but it's like talk to yourself, laugh, like just enjoy it. Right. You know what I mean? And it's almost like in a certain way, you almost detach and like get this external perspective of, all right, I'm out here with myself, you know, but it's like you're treating it as like, all right, detach a little bit, like enjoy the moment, laugh at what's going on, don't take it too serious and just have fun. And I think part of that is what you guys are getting to is like even just talking, like at least you're talking to a camera, Steve. Sometimes I'll just talk or laugh to myself, you know.
No, dude, seriously, no, I'm the same way. Like if you had a candid camera on me when I was by myself, it'd probably be pretty comical because I'm like talking the hunt out to myself. I'm whispering to myself like as I'm glassing and stuff. Like that's cool, just hey, I mean, it sounds crazy.
The cool thing about whispering to yourself is no matter how quiet you do it, you can always hear it.
Oh yeah. Yep. So besides a like from a hunting perspective, man, dude, if the hunt's going slow, I think that you need to take a step back and look at what's in front of you and the opportunity that you have. Okay, so like really appreciating what you're doing at the moment. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe you're not seeing any bears or any deer or something like that, but dude, you're backpacked into some wilderness by yourself in the most quiet place that you could be. And that alone is awesome. You know what I mean? So, besides the hunting part, I think some of us get wrapped up too much into, trying to fill our tags, you know, and kind of fail to realize what is in front of us in the first place.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I think for me, I do that a lot as well. Just kind of step outside the situation and look at what you're doing from a big picture. And just have that appreciation for how, you know, just how truly lucky we are that you're out here experiencing this. And just kind of that helps when things are slow and getting tough and the hunt's slow and you want to go home and all that stuff.
Yeah. And the other thing, I mean, as all of us know, like a hunt can switch around in like a second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's it, man. Like you could like hear no bugles at all for 5-6 days. And then all of a sudden you're sitting there eating a freaking granola bar and a bull bugles behind you or something. You know what I mean? Like if you weren't sitting there eating the granola bar, you wouldn't heard that.
Mm-hmm. We've covered so much that I think applies to this question, but I want to make sure there's nothing else that comes to mind from you guys. One of the listener questions we had was advice for a backcountry beginner that has to go solo. So clearly we've talked about safety and, you know, like keeping mileage in check with packing things out and communication and mindset and all that applies. But anything else for somebody who's maybe new to backcountry hunting in general and is looking at doing it solo?
I think it's super important, like before you actually leave, especially like you've never done this before. I think it's incredibly important to actually test your gear out at home. So you aren't fumbling around once you get back there. It's not something that you have to think of and you just kind of act, you know, accordingly. And so that's from a functionality standpoint, right? I think you should load up your backpack at home, set up your tent in the backyard, just like even sleep in your tent in the backyard. You know, like when I started doing this, I didn't even know what it was like to sleep in a backpacking tent. I had never slept on a sleeping pad, none of that. So I literally did that stuff in my backyard in like I would truck camp, but I would bring my backpack loaded as if I was going to backpack. Because I had no idea how any of that stuff was like experiencing it, you know. So I tell a lot of beginners to do that, man. Like if you don't want to actually just jump into the wilderness, dude, there's nothing wrong with like just loading up your backpack like you're going to backpack and go truck camp somewhere just so you can experience that, right? And then just so you know how everything works. and then take it a step further. You know, I would say don't go on a 10-day hunt right away. Like that would be, you know, I mean, what Steve was saying, like, it's hard, you know, like to be back there even for 3 days. So, yeah. And so then, on the mental side, I think we hammered that in pretty good, but, that is something that is, you just need to, you just kind of got to get over it, you know, like all the bears out there, they're not out there to rip your head off. You know, like the lions are not after you, you know.
Yeah.
You're fine. And in that article, I remember I said something like, it was so quiet that I almost had to cover my ears. And so for sleeping, I mean, Steve has his story when he's sitting there with his handgun on his chest. Like, we build up that stuff so much. Like, when you're sitting there and these little itty bitty noises, oh my goodness, you know, like they turn into these big crazy things. You're like, there's definitely a bear walking around outside right now. At any second, I'm going to feel a muzzle come through the tent. You know what I mean? You're fine.
Right. I've never done this, but I know guys who do, and that's sleep with earplugs in the backcountry.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I wouldn't do that.
I think it'd be like, yeah, I don't know. It's so interesting. I don't think I've had the guts to try it. Like you said, you wouldn't do it, but
yeah,
I know guys who absolutely swear by it because they, you know, frankly, they just fall asleep and stay asleep and nothing wakes them up.
Yeah.
I've heard of guys falling asleep with headphones in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like watching a movie or something on their phones. I'm not going to do that.
Like, there is no bear, but that. If there is, I have to hear him.
Exactly.
Nothing's going to happen, but I want to hear it when it does.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So yeah. So yeah, just basically if someone's doing this for the first time, be as prepared as possible, man. Like do everything that you can to at home physical fitness. You know, this stuff is not easy. Gear, just all of it, just try to do everything you can, and then all of the other stuff, I'm afraid you're just gonna have to go out there and take that in, you know, and you might go out there and hate it. You know, someone might go out there and be like, this is not for me, I'm not doing this ever again, and that is totally fine, you know, but the only way you're gonna know that is if you actually go.
Yeah, cool. Steve, anything we didn't cover that sticks out in terms of advice for a beginner?
Yeah, Josh hit pretty much every bullet point on the head. Start small, you know, definitely backpack at home and your idea of truck camping, that's great. Yeah, like it doesn't have to be backpacking, just get familiar with your gear. And then I would definitely, like if I was from Iowa and I wanted to go on a solo elk hunt, definitely go backpacking by yourself and, you know, somewhere around home in July or August. Because you can't replicate that. And you don't even have to get far. You just get a mile off the road.
Mm-hmm.
But then go hike in there early evening, set up camp, make a fire, hang out. And you're quickly like, you know, hopefully you don't have cell phone service. So you're like truly alone and you can't like check in with stuff because most likely you're not going to have that when you're in the woods. And that it just hits you that alone feeling. Like I said, when you have chores to do, and you have hunting to do, and you have dinner to cook, and you have camp to set up, that stuff's easy. It's that like that downtime. Like I hate backpacking. I hate backpacking. Backpacking in like November is rough, especially on a solo hunt, because that you're talking. It's like here in Idaho, it'll get 5 o'clock, and you know, at best, I'm like jamming 3 Tylenol PMs down at like 8:30 and asleep by 9. You still got 4 hours there where you're just literally you alone with your thoughts and nothing to do. So start, practice that. Literally, Josh nailed it. I mean, just be prepared, do as much research as you can. You don't need to go like crazy overboard, but just be ready for it. Know your gear, be fit. Or, you know, at least improve your physical fitness between the day you're listening to this and the day you're going to set out for your hunt. and then have your safety in place, or safety plan in place, whether that's an inReach or if you're just going to have, you know, you're supposed to call at this time. And if not, your wife has a map where you're at. And then I think you need to understand and fully expect that it's not going to go perfect. Yep. Things are going to happen and you just kind of got to roll with the punches. You know, bad weather's going to come. There's going to be delays. The hunting might be slow. You might have equipment issues. And you just kind of got to don't let those become the excuses like we talked about that force you to leave. Just be, you know, plan on them and be prepared. And when they happen, you deal with them and move on.
Yeah.
I think another thing to point out, like in terms of planning for a first timer, is you know, we read all these stories online and we watch these films of guys, you know, backpacking in 9 miles for deer or whatever. You do not have to go in deep. Like you, one of my best coos deer spots, it's a mile from my truck, you know, but it's not, there's no trail system. You know what I mean? I just like park right off the side of the road and hike cross country. Mm-hmm. There's no one back there. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to go 9-10 miles back. So when you're planning and you're looking at a map, like don't like disregard these like roadless areas that are not in it's weird saying developed, right? But like there's not trail systems going through them and stuff like that. Like don't disregard stuff like that, because that could be like a super awesome honey hole that nobody even looks at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because there's nothing there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, plenty of guys hike, you know, 5 miles in on a trail and they're passing all this country that if they just get off trail, they wouldn't have to hike nearly as far type thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, guys, this was good. I think we hit some great points. Certainly helpful for the listeners, I'm sure, if they're considering solo hunting, or maybe after this, they want to intentionally choose to do some solo hunting, which I would encourage anybody to try. Start small, just do a simple overnighter, see how it goes. Maybe it's not even a hunt. Maybe it's just a first solo backpacking trip type thing. But Josh, Steve, thanks for sharing it, fellas.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on again. Super fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks for tuning in for that discussion. Don't forget, you can check out more about the podcast, including all previous shows, and make sure that you're subscribed so you receive new episodes automatically by going to exomountaingear.com/podcast. Again, if you have any questions, comments, feedback, or suggestions, let's hear it. Shoot us an email to podcast@exomountaingear.com.